Hi, everyone. Happy Sunday. Yeah, I see a few people in the room that were at Be the Love, and we did have a really good time. and I know that you guys know a little bit about that because Lynn Johnson set it up so that at least some of it was in Pal Talk. I don't know how good the sound was, but I think you probably at least got the idea that we had a really good time. It really was a wonderful weekend. But I won't talk about that anymore because we're going to talk about that next. right now we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, and that is the time that is set aside where I am going through the blog, reginadonacres.com, reading all of the messages that Holy Spirit gave me as personal messages in order to be helpful to me. We're looking at them in chronological order, and tonight we are up to February 1st, 2008. So what I'm going to do is give you all a link. This is a link to the message that we're going to look at tonight. The name of the message is Step Back into Observer Role. And what I will be doing, of course, before I look at the message is saying a prayer. First, I'm going to take a little sip of tea. Hold on one second. I'm kind of resting now. I don't know if you all are aware, but I have been on the go. And when I say on the go, I really mean on the go for weeks and weeks and weeks without any rest at all. And so today is kind of a day of rest. However, a day of rest does not mean a day of doing nothing. And we got up and went to the gym this morning. And then Donna Marvel came over for a little while. We hadn't seen her in several weeks, and so we caught up with Donna. Then we went to the store. Then we came back, and I fertilized the yard. And then I caught up on some foundation financial business and got books ready to ship, and now I'm teaching. And that's a day of rest. and we're doing a double hitter teaching tonight, too. But that is a day of rest compared to what I've been doing lately. So... Yeah, last night I sat down to watch TV for a minute and rest, and I totally passed out. And Jasmine woke me up after about 45 minutes, and I was so disoriented. I didn't know where I was, what time of day it was, or anything. But we have 2 weeks now here at home without any guests. So that will give me a chance to catch up on some of the things that have been sitting on the back burner. Also maybe just do a little bit of resting before we get going again. So, yeah. All right, so why don't we say a prayer? Shall we? Holy Spirit, I am grateful for all things, but right now I am feeling specifically prompted to hold gratitude for the formless. The formless, Holy Spirit, is that which we cannot grasp with the thinking mind, that which we cannot grasp with the physical body, with the five senses. And yet, within the formlessness lies our joy, our perfect happiness, peace, love. And because we really aren't the body, and we really aren't the thinking mind, we can know and be aware of the formless, even as the world continues, the body continues, and the thinking mind continues. Eckhart Tolle uses the term background spaciousness. I call it stillness. And I'm in total agreement with the idea, the term, the concept, background. When we hold in our awareness this stillness, this spaciousness, this formlessness, as a background to everything else, it allows the world to continue, the body to continue, and even to some degree, the thinking mind to continue. And yet there's a peace, there's a joy, there's a happiness that is not dependent on specific events or circumstances, as we become more in touch with the formless. We become more in touch with peace, joy, love. So, Holy Spirit, I give gratitude for the formlessness, for the stillness, for the background spaciousness. May it be within our conscious awareness always, so that we will know it is very, very true that we are sustained by the love of God. Amen. All right, so with that, we are ready to begin. So I have given you the link. I don't think anybody new has come into the room, but just for the heck of it, here's the link again. And the message that we are reading is from February 1st, 2000. I think it's a 2008, but it's actually 2007. Sorry, were you? We're not quite as far along as I thought we were. We're in February 1st, 2007. And the name of the message is Step Back into the Observer Role. And I did start by asking Holy Spirit a question. So here's the question I asked. Holy Spirit, I give everything that seems to be going on to you and ask, what would you share with me today? And right this moment, I have no idea what was going on February 1st, 2007. Maybe as I read the message, it will come back. But it appears that there were definitely things going on. And I just wanted to surrender it all and ask for whatever Spirit would share. So let's find out what that is. Here is the answer. It is time to step back into the observer role. From within the script, it seems like there are many who want different things from you. But this is the perspective from within the script, as if the script is real. If you step back and look at the script with me, you will see that all of the players are being moved around so that the mind can try out different scenarios and different reactions. It is a game. It is a meaningless game. The mind is still toying with the idea of separateness. As you get caught up in the script as it is playing out now, you also toy with this same idea, and the script continues to play. I know that some of you, at least, are familiar with NTI, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And I know that some of you are aware of NTI Romans chapter 2, where Holy Spirit teaches us that the tiny mad idea, or the idea that was the beginning of the ego, the world, was a question, a curiosity. And the question was, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? That was the basic idea. What would it be like if everything was different than it is? Now, this created the potential for a lot of different kinds of experiences. And what Holy Spirit is saying is that the script of the world, is literally designed in order to provide those experiences that we wanted to experience when we asked that question. What would it be like if everything was different? So what happens within the script of the world is that scenarios play out so that we can feel and experience anger. Scenarios play out so that we can feel and experience jealousy or envy. So that we can experience unworthiness and guilt, sadness, depression, right? So we can have a myriad of experiences that are different than truth. And when we are totally caught up in the script, believing that everything is real, we feel those experiences. And many of those experiences are other than happiness, peace, love. Because again, we asked for an experience that was different than what is true, what is real. So let's look at this first paragraph again. Remember, at this time in my life, there was a lot going on, and it looks like there were a lot of different people wanting different things from me. I was probably feeling pulled in many, many directions and not certain how to meet everyone's expectations. That's what I imagine was probably the feeling in my life. I know I've been there a few times, so this was probably one of those times. So let's listen again to what Holy Spirit says. It is time to step back into the observer role. From within the script, it seems like there are many who want different things from you. But this is the perspective from within the script, as if the script is real. If you step back and look at the script with me, you will see that all of the players are being moved around so that the mind can try out different scenarios and different reactions. It is a game. It is a meaningless game. The mind is still toying with the idea of separateness. As you get caught up in the script, as it is playing out now, you also toy with this same idea, and the script continues to play. All right, the second paragraph. Although the characters are different and the circumstances seem to change, it is helpful to look at the script as a merry-go-round, which goes around and around and around for as long as this game is played. It is a script of separateness, rejection, betrayal, attack, fear, lack, and one-upmanship or competition. It is a script of guilt, unworthiness, sorrow, seeking, and dying. With some laughter and some joy, the script plays again and again in different ways, trying different options for the same base themes. So if we get beyond the specific stories and we start looking at the ideas behind the story, such as the idea of betrayal, what we will see is that the script is like a merry-go-round, meaning that that particular horse on the merry-go-round, the betrayal horse, comes around again and again and again. We may experience our first betrayal when we are in fifth grade. We may then experience our second betrayal when we are a senior in high school. We may then experience our next betrayal when we are around 25. You know, it keeps coming back around. And the stories are completely different. We may be in completely different locations. All the players are different. But what is consistent, what keeps coming back to us in the script, is the betrayal, right? And rejection, and attack, fear, lack, competition, guilt, unworthiness, sorrow, seeking, and dying, along with some laughter and some joy. So Holy Spirit is asking us to look at the script as a merry-go-round and to recognize that all of the events, all of the characters, are put together in order to create these experiences, rejection, betrayal, attack, etc., because we wanted to experience something different than truth. You know, it reminds me of that definition of love that Holy Spirit gave me in November 2006. Love is giving through Spirit, to Spirit, that which Spirit requests. As long as we continue to play the game of the world. We are continuing to participate in the answering of that question. What would it be like if everything was different than it is? And everything that comes to us, every rejection, every betrayal, every attack, etc., these are gifts of love giving us the experience we ask to have. I remember in November 2006 when Holy Spirit taught this to me, the very same day that I received that message, I also received an email what appeared to be a very strong attack. And I remember that at first I saw it as an attack, and then I remembered the teaching, love is giving through Spirit, to Spirit, that which Spirit requests. And suddenly I saw that even though my brother's language was very strong and appeared to be attacking language, right? I saw that it could not be attack, that it is not attack, that it's love. And I also saw that it was an opportunity to accept the atonement for myself, because the atonement is the correction. You see, the error would be to continue to see it as an attack. The correction was to see it as love. And when I saw what appeared to be an attack as love, I am the one that was set free. I accepted the atonement for myself. Now, relating that back to this particular message, basically what Spirit is saying is that in every moment, regardless of what is happening in our life, we really have two choices. One choice is to be caught up in the script, caught up in what is going on, right? And if we receive an email that appears to be a very strong attack, we see it as an attack. We react as if it is an attack, and we do whatever we're going to do. We attack back, or we talk bad about that person to everyone else, or whatever we're going to do, right? We're being caught up in the game. Or the other option is, we step back into the observer role. When the email comes that appears to be an attack, we see it as nothing but a part of the script. The script that is offering us the opportunity to have experiences that are different than truth. We recognize we ask for the opportunity. We recognize it's just a gift, but it's also a gift we no longer want. And in peace, we look at the exact same email and we feel love. And of course, our reaction, if there is any reaction at all, is going to be completely different than if we see it as an attack. So when Holy Spirit asks us to step back into the observer role, I see your hand, Lord Blue, I'll get to you in just a second. When Holy Spirit asks us to step back into the observer role, He is literally asking us to see everything as a script, as not real. He's not asking us to deny that it happened. I don't have to pretend like I didn't get a strongly worded email, right? In fact, that denial would only come from fear. I see that I got a strongly worded email. It's just I understand what it is and where it comes from, and that it's just a meaningless game. All right, Laura Blue, what is it that you would like? Okay, Laura Blue has a question. If everything here is like a merry-go-round, then could we say that what Holy Spirit does has also the characteristics of a merry-go-round? Holy Spirit says the same things again and again and again. The answer is yes. Yes, and if we, any of us who have been on this path long enough probably know that. When we read A Course in Miracles, if we read NTI, if we read Eckhart Tolle, any spiritual teaching, at some point we see that it's the same teachings over and over and over again. They may be worded differently, using different symbols, but there are no new teachings. Holy Spirit is also on that merry-go-round, going around and around and around. So yeah, that's true. All right. So let's see, make sure there was anything else before I go back. Yeah, okay, that's it, good. All right, so what I'm going to do is go back then to the reading. And by the way, especially when I'm in Holy Spirit guides, I have a window up covering Pal Talk while I'm reading. so I cannot see what you guys are saying. So if you really want to capture my attention, do what Lord Blue did, stick up your hand, because I do keep the window so it does not cover up that part of Pal Talk. I can see if a hand goes up, but I'm really not very aware of your comments when I'm reading because the screen is covered. Okay? All right, so let's continue then. Holy Spirit says, and for those of you who just got the link, we're in the third paragraph of Holy Spirit's dialogue, or monologue, I guess. Holy Spirit's monologue. Here we go. If you see the script as a merry-go-round, by looking beyond the form to the theme that drives the scenario, you can see the whole show in one swift glance. In that glance, you recognize that you do not want this script anymore. I ask you to step back and be the observer, because observer is not player. And players continue the script through playing. As you stand in the role of observer, you are detached from the script and the drama it seems to offer. Because you still seem to be on stage as you observe, I will call out directions to you when directions are needed. If I am not calling out directions to you from off stage, maintain the role of observer. When you hear my directions, take those steps, and you assist in the movement of the play in a way that is helpful and meaningful for everyone. So again, Holy Spirit is asking us to maintain the realization that this is not real, right? Maintain the realization that this is not real, and observe the script as it plays out. You know, even if somebody walks right up and yells at us, we do not need to deny that someone has yelled at us, but we understand that this is just an opportunity to believe something untrue, because that's what the Tiny Mad idea gave us, was these opportunities to believe things that are not real so we could have an experience that is different from truth, right? So we don't have to deny anything that is happening in form. We merely see it as a meaningless game. Now, if there is something to be said, when someone comes up and yells at us, if there's something to be said, if there's something that to be done, if we maintain the role of observer, if we are not emotionally involved in the script, we are open and available to hear Spirit's guidance. So if we are to say something, we will know what to say. If we are to say nothing, we will know to say nothing. If we are to turn and walk away, we'll know to turn and walk away. Right? So by staying in the observer role, by not being a part of the script, we are available to hear Holy Spirit as basically like an alternate director of the play, as he yells out new lines for us to read. So instead of reading the lines of the script, we're now reading the lines of the Holy Spirit guide. He says, I've asked you not to lose the perspective of the script. Let me be your offstage director. Do not listen to the players as if they are me. Listen only for me, although I may speak through the players. You will know me by my consistency. Listen only for me. Now, something that's very interesting in this particular paragraph is he says, do not listen to the players as if they are me. Listen only for me, although I may speak through the players. So what he's cautioning us to pay attention to is really where our listening is tuned. Our listening should be tuned within. Within. We should be in touch with our intuitive direction. We should be in touch with our heart. We are within. Now, if somebody gives us advice, it is within that will tell us whether we are to follow that advice or not. So it's not necessarily true that everything a brother says to me is for me. But sometimes it is true that what a brother says to me is for me. And how do I know if I'm to take what my brother says and follow that action or follow that advice? Because I get the internal confirmation. The same thing is true for reading books, right? We read books like, Way of Mastery, Eckhart Tolle, and T.I. How do I know if what's in that book is for me? Because I get an internal confirmation that tells me it is for me. I have been aware of people who have made the mistake of believing every, quote, channeler that they hear. I can tell you that every channeler is not pure. So to make the mistake of just because someone says, I am channeling, to then believe what they say is an error. Instead, we've got to remember channeling is merely a form. Channeling is merely something that happens within the world, and the world is not real. Now, do we disregard all channeling? That would be throwing out the baby with the bathwater. The rule is to listen within. If someone appears to be channeling, and they say something, and in me, I get an internal confirmation that that is indeed for me, then I take it. If I get an internal message to let that go, then I let that go. So you see, I am always being guided from within, even if I seem to take advice or guidance from a person or a book that is outside of me. But the guidance is always within. So that is the end of that particular message. I noticed that Lisa has her hand up. So Lisa, I am turning the mic over to you.
Hey, thanks, Regina. This is actually a very key part for me because in my life especially, I played that seek and do not find. I was looking all over in every book, in every religion, trying to quote-unquote find myself and listening to people, and I would play this all-or-nothing game where I would give all of my power over to another person and worship them and take everything literally from them. Or I would find, like you said, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, everything wrong with what they were saying or living from complete fear and doubt and not hear anything that they had to say. And all the while, it's two different sides of the same coin. It's the double-edged sword because I would be constantly projecting my power, seemingly away from myself into the world. And when the Holy Spirit told me that I can listen to everything, I can read everything, I can do everything, but to listen to Him, that everything really is just a relationship between me and the Holy Spirit, that everything is me speaking to and hearing from the Holy Spirit, then it became very, very simple. And so when I listen to someone and something really resonates with what they're saying, or I feel guided to read a book or whatever, if all of a sudden something doesn't resonate, then I discard it. But if there's something in it that I feel like a kind of like a, I don't know, there's something that bothers me about it, or I'm thinking that it's true and it's not, the Holy Spirit will correct it right there. And so it's very key. And that is really why we're not supposed to have awe for anybody. We're supposed to listen to our brothers and listen for the Holy Spirit through our brothers. And in that, we see ourselves. We hear the Holy Spirit through our brothers. We see ourselves. If we're listening and judging as all good or all bad, we're seeing the ego, whether we think we're being spiritual in it or not. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to hear your voice. It was fun being with you last weekend. All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to go to the next message. If you are in this particular message with me, if you just scroll back to the top of the message, you'll see where a link that says, Merging with Holy Spirit is opening the eyes to what is. If you click on that link, that will take you to the next message. For those of you who were not in a message with us and you would like to be, here is the link to our next message from February 2007. It is called Merging with Holy Spirit is Opening the Eyes to What Is. And it looks like on this particular date, I did not have a question. Holy Spirit just began speaking and I began writing. So let's see what we have here. Here we go. The purpose within this world is to merge the mind with Holy Spirit and let go of ego. That is the same as merging the mind with light and letting go of darkness. When one is born into the world, the mind seems mostly lost in dark thoughts. And that line kind of reminds me of the first sentence from Linda McNabb's book. I have her book over there on the bookshelf, but I don't know exactly where. I'm not going to grab it. But the first line is something like, and if anybody knows it and can quote it directly, please type it in. But the first line is something like, you know, I was born crazy, or I was born insane, and it went downhill from there. You know, and that's what this particular line reminds me of. When one is born into the world, the mind seems mostly lost in dark thoughts. This does not mean that the mind is evil or purposefully hurtful of others. It means that the mind sees itself as separate. We're getting asked for the link again, so here is the link again. It means that the mind sees itself as separate, and in its aloneness it suffers. Last night, Danielle and I watched Powder again, and I haven't seen Powder, the movie, in a very long time. And in fact, the last time I saw it, I was not yet on the spiritual path. I remember liking it, but there were certainly some messages in the movie that I did not get. There was one particular scene in the movie last night where Powder is at a picnic and he's sitting talking to this girl, and she asks, because he can feel right what everyone is thinking, what everyone is feeling, he can feel it. So she asks what it's like inside of everyone. What's it like inside of everyone? And he tells her that most everyone feels separate. And he begins to explain to her that we are not separate, that we are all connected, that it's all one. But this is what Holy Spirit means when Holy Spirit says that we are born into darkness. We are born into that idea that we are separate. So again, Holy Spirit is saying, when one is born into the world, the mind seems mostly lost in dark thoughts. This does not mean that the mind is evil or purposefully hurtful of others. It means that the mind sees itself as separate, and in its aloneness it suffers. So you could have a very nice ego. And for the most part, I have always had a very nice ego. That doesn't mean, of course, that I haven't had hateful thoughts and key grievances, because I have. But if we, you know, had a scale of 1 to 10, you know, you know, 1 being, you know, a serial killer who really, really spent a lot of time in what we would call dark, evil thoughts, and 10 being, you know, a really nice, nice person who, you know, kept her mouth shut and was always helpful even though she didn't like everyone, I was closer to the 10 end of the scale. Okay? I had a nice ego. So when Holy Spirit says we're born into darkness, he does not necessarily mean we're born into being mean, you know, or being evil. He means we're born into feeling separate. And in that feeling of separateness, there will be suffering. And certainly all of my life, I can look back, starting very, very early, my very earliest memories of 4, are sad memories, the ones that I remember, and they come from feeling separate, from feeling bullied by another kid, from losing my pet, right? There's a lot of suffering that occurs even if the mind is a nice mind, right? Because the suffering, the darkness, is the belief in separation. So again, when one is born into the world, the mind seems mostly lost in dark thoughts. This does not mean that the mind is evil or purposefully hurtful of others. It means that the mind sees itself as separate, and in its aloneness it suffers. The journey within the world seems to be a journey of joining or of finding belonging. Those who feel they completely fail at this suffer the greatest feeling of loss. And I think we know that is true, and I think some of those people are right here in this room. There are people here now who, through the experience of their life, joined fairly well, right? They belong to a church, or they belong to a professional group, or, you know, something, somewhere they belonged, and they fit in pretty well. But yet we can all still look back and we can see those times when we felt rejected, or we felt abandoned, and there was, you know, suffering from our belief in separateness. But for the most part, we fit in, right? And so we were generally happy. Then there are the others, and some of you are right here in this room, who have never felt like you fit in anywhere. And Spirit is saying that you are the ones who have suffered the greatest. So the greater the feeling of separation, right, the greater the suffering. Again, the entire journey of the world, or the search for joining. Oh, sorry, I don't think I finished the first paragraph above. Let me go back to that paragraph again. Back to the second paragraph. When one is born into the world, the mind seems mostly lost in dark thoughts. This does not mean that the mind is evil or purposefully hurtful of others. It means that the mind sees itself as separate, and in its aloneness it suffers. The journey within the world seems to be a journey of joining or of finding belonging. Those who feel they completely fail at this suffer the greatest feeling of loss. Those who feel they have failed somewhat or sometimes also suffer. The entire journey of the world, or the search for joining, is an illusion of loss. For the one who feels he is born separate into the world is mistaken from the very beginning. Therefore, his entire purpose is a mistake. When the purpose itself is an error, the feeling of failure or loss is inevitable. So again, he is saying that we were born with the belief that we were separate. And there is an awareness in us that because we are separate, we suffer. And so what we have done is we have sought for joining, whether it be through sports, through career, through romance, right? It doesn't matter what path or paths we have chosen. We search for joining because we believe joining will make us happy. However, Spirit says that is an illusion, because the key thought in the first place, the idea that we were separate, is a mistake. You see, as we seek joining to make us happy, we're actually coming from the belief that we're separate. Instead of trying to join in order to correct the belief that we're separate, we really need to see that the belief that we are separate is an error. Do you see how that's different than seeking joining in the world? If our goal is an error, if we believe we are separate and we are seeking joining, then we may feel somewhat successful as we get along with our team or get along with our workmates, right? As we're invited out to dinner by friends. But then, because the goal is an error in the first place, the idea that we're separate, because the goal and the idea is an error in the first place, we cannot feel wholly successful ever. There will be times, for example, when we are not invited to dinner, when we are not getting along with the team, or not getting along with the workmates, and we're going to go right back to that belief that we're separate and we're going to suffer again. So joining is not the answer to the belief. Finding out that the belief itself is a mistake is the answer. So again, the entire journey of the world, or the search for joining, is an illusion of loss. For the one who feels he is born separate into the world is mistaken from the very beginning. Therefore, his entire purpose is a mistake. When the purpose itself is an error, the feeling of failure or loss is inevitable. The purpose of the journey of the world is not joining, since separateness has never occurred. It is awakening to what is already true right now. It is a merging of mind with truth, or of awareness with that which already is. In this way, awakening is not a change at all. It is merely the decision to see differently by deciding to let go of that which can never truly be seen. It can only be imagined as a cover over what is, and it can only be held to by choosing not to see the only truth that can ever be seen. So again, we're going back to the previous discussion where we talked about NTI Romans chapter 2, where the divine mind asked, what would it be like if everything was different than it is? And then we took God. You know, we took the only thing, for lack of a better word, thing is not correct, but we took the only thing there was, and we made an illusion of something else out of it. That is like a cover over what is. I believe A Course in Miracles describes it as a veil. But we can only see the veil, see the cover, see the illusion for as long as we want to. And you could tell you want to if you're participating in it. If you are attacked and you get angry, you are participating. And if you are participating, it means you still want it. When we step back into that observer role that was taught in the first message, we start to not participate. We are then taking our wanting back. And that's when the illusion will begin to disappear, or the veil will begin to be lifted. So again, Holy Spirit is telling us that awakening is the only answer that will bring us perfect joy. Joining cannot ever do it, because joining comes from the false idea that we were separate. Therefore, it emphasizes the idea it comes from. Holy Spirit continues, in darkness, your eyes are closed. You do not look at all. You only imagine. This is why what you see may only seem true to you. Others may see differently. But when eyes are opened, there is only one way to see. In this seeing, all seeming disagreements are gone. I remember the other day I was telling Sonia a story. Sonia Spahn was here visiting us this last week, and I was getting ready to tell her a story. And as I started to tell the story, Jasmine goes, Mom, you always tell that story wrong. And I just giggled, and I said, well, Jasmine, I'm telling it from my perspective, and from my perspective, this is the first thing that happened. But in truth, the story itself that I was about to tell isn't even true. If I can have one perspective, and Jasmine can have another perspective, and someone else who may have been involved can have another perspective, then this is a part of the imagined world. It's not truth. When it comes down to truth, real truth, there are no disagreements. There is only one way of seeing, one way of understanding, one way of knowing. And this is something that is also taught in NTI. It's taught in NTI Luke. Holy Spirit talks to us about the fact that we... Oh, shoot, Cheryl, you have to help me. I'm drawing a blank here. He talks about we interpret, right? I think that's the word he uses. We interpret, and we feel our interpretation is knowledge. And so he says that if you're in a disagreement with someone, what that really means is you have an interpretation that you are believing to be knowledge. And if what you want to do is step away from the illusion, you also need to step away from your interpretation. You must begin to realize that you couldn't possibly be right if someone else is disagreeing with you. Because in truth, in right with a capital R, there is no disagreement. Therefore, you must be interpreting, because knowledge has no opposite. Knowledge has no disagreement. So again, in darkness, your eyes are closed. You do not look at all. You only imagine. This is why what you see may only seem true to you. Others may see differently. But when eyes are opened, there is only one way to see. In this scene, all seeming disagreements are gone. And I saw Bill and Lisa with their hand up. I also see a question here. It's from Lisa. It says, there are many times when I react to the world almost like a reflex. It feels automatic. It is participating in the script, but feels out of my control. Can you talk about how to interpret, how to interrupt knee-jerk reactions to situations? I can talk about my experience. First of all, when we're still in the phase when it happens so fast that it feels automatic, at that point, there may not be anything that we can do to interrupt it, as you say. But what we can do is look at it after the fact. I used to spend a lot of time taking timeouts, looking at the fact that I had just yelled at Jasmine again. And what I would do after the fact is I would look at it. Now, usually I also had to spend a lot of time letting go of guilt because I felt guilty for having had the knee-jerk reaction, as you say. But at some point, after letting go of guilt and letting go of guilt, I got to where I could look at what I had done without judgment, as if I just wanted to learn from myself. And I could look at what really upset me. And you've probably heard this story before. I know that one of the key thoughts that I noticed is that whenever I had the thought that Jasmine was not respecting me, I got very, very upset. So I started to notice that that thought came into my mind and that that thought is what I was reacting to. More than her, I was reacting to the idea in my mind that she did not respect me. After that, after I caught the thought, and again, I was looking at it after it happened, then what would start to happen is I would start noticing the thought in my mind before the yelling occurred. And that's when I got to where I could interrupt it. So I actually went through a process first. It didn't happen automatically. First, there was a process of letting go of my own judgment of what I had done. Then there was the process of being able to look from the observer role at what had actually happened. And then, once I became aware of that thought, she's not respecting me, then I could see that thought when it was rising in my mind, and I could choose again before I followed through by yelling at her. So I will tell you that actually that process, the one I'm describing to you now, took many months. And one thing that was happening the entire time I was going through that process is I was giving my willingness over and over and over again, you know, to be healed of whatever needed to be healed. So giving willingness was very important. Sticking with the process, continuing to take responsibility for how I felt, never blaming it on someone else, and continuing to look within for what was going on in me that was causing the upset. Lisa, I am turning, Lisa Trevino, I am turning the mic over to you.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. My process is exactly the same. And one of the things that came up for me, though, when I would be going through this process was, in my experience, was I would have tons of shame. And so I would feel so bad about, it's like I had a story about when I would react. I would have a story about when I would lash out or say something or snap or get angry or my blood pressure would go up or whatever. I would have a story about it. And it wasn't helpful. And so the first thing that the Holy Spirit needed to help me to keep in mind was to not have a story about it, to just really see that I was healing and that whatever it is that I was believing was driving it. And it was helpful because I was able to slow down. And instead of going, because I would go into, I would have the thought, and it would happen so fast, and then I would react, and then I would judge myself. about how I reacted, and then I would be all about trying to control the action, the doing. And it was all coming from a place of shame or judgment or fear of what somebody else was going to think of me because I just reacted like that. And when I let go of the judgment of it, I was able to slow down and be close enough to what had just recently transpired to be able to start listening and hear, because now it's fresh in my mind. I haven't gone into the story about it, but stayed in the story of it, to be able to ask, well, what was I thinking? And be able to hear, well, what was the fear? And it's always a fear, like I'm afraid something's going to happen, or afraid this person, this is what this really means, or something. Like there's a fear that drives that, that propels it with such energy. That's why we're never upset for the reason we think. But when I would go into the story about it, I promise you, I would miss the boat. I wouldn't even hear what it was that I was thinking, because now I was all about controlling. You know, now I was all about really in a major defense, and now I have a fear about a fear or a shame about shame. I just didn't want anybody to see me acting like that, or I didn't want to judge myself that way, and I was judging myself. And so to really see that it's part of the process of healing gives us a chance to stop, slow down already, and start loving ourselves in the process and realize that, wow, okay, you know, we're not a bad person because we just snapped or something just came up. Something just came up for healing. And in that, we can then, this is an opening up that happens where I'm able to then hear gently what it was that I was thinking instead of judging it, where it would run and hide in the corner of my mind going, don't look at me. Anyway, that's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, so what I'm going to do is return to the message. I'll read the last paragraph again just to get us back into it. He said, in darkness, your eyes are closed. You do not look at all. You only imagine. This is why what you see may only seem true to you. Others may see differently. But when eyes are opened, there is only one way to see. In this scene, all seeming disagreements are gone. The world is a journey of merging the mind with the Holy Spirit. This is the same as saying, the world is a journey of opening the eyes to all that can be seen. When your eyes are open, questioning and confusion ends because you see. When you are questioning and experiencing confusion, know that your eyes are closed. One thing that Holy Spirit seems to be doing here, which he also does in NTI Luke, is he really encourages us to recognize that we do not know. Or the way he says it in NTI Luke is he encourages us to recognize that we are interpreting. Again, if I can get into a disagreement with you about anything, I am not seeing in the moment. Because if I was seeing, there could be no disagreement. And in fact, what Holy Spirit recommends in NTI Luke is that when I notice I am interpreting, rather than knowing, I think I know, but I'm interpreting because I'm having a disagreement. When I notice that, what he recommends is that I step away from my interpretation and I go to him in prayer, asking me to help me see. But he also says that when I go to him in prayer, go with him not with the expectation that I'm right and that he's going to tell me how right I am, but with the expectation that I am wrong. I had to have been wrong, or I could not have been in disagreement with my brother. And if I will go to Holy Spirit knowing that I had to have been wrong, I had to have been interpreting, or as it says here, imagining, then Holy Spirit can help to open my eyes, can move me in the direction of seeing. But if I want to believe that I am right in the disagreement, then I am choosing to hold on to imagining as if it's truth, choosing to hold on to interpretation as if it is knowledge, choosing to remain in darkness. When your eyes are closed, it is best to realize that you do not see. You see what Holy Spirit is asking of us? He's asking us to recognize that if I am disagreeing with you, if I have that feeling of disagreement, that I must be in that moment lost from knowledge. I cannot see. He's asking me basically to retreat away from my position of rightness into humility. When your eyes are closed, it is best to realize that you do not see. When you do not see, do not ask the images you imagine to be different. So maybe I'm in disagreement with you about you. Maybe I'm in disagreement with you about the way you do something. There is something you do that I feel is wrong, and you are too close to me in my life. Maybe you live with me. You are too close to me. I cannot permit you to continue to be wrong. I need to help you be right. I cannot be at peace unless you are better. We all know this story, right? But if I am in disagreement with you, I'm blind in that moment. How the heck can I help you? I'm completely believing imagination. I'm completely believing the false is true. It reminds me of the Bible scripture. What is that about? Not moving the splinter from, not trying to remove the splinter from your brother's eye when you have a beam in your own? This is the same idea. If I am so sure that you are so wrong that you have to be fixed in order for me to be at peace, I am blind in the moment. I have a beam in my eye. It is time for me to step back into humility and allow Holy Spirit to help me to see and not try to change what's out there, because here I am completely blind trying to change something. Sounds like I could really screw things up, doesn't it? So when your eyes are closed, it is best to realize that you do not see. When you do not see, do not ask the images you imagine to be different. Ask only that your eyes be opened so you may see. In the light, you will know where to go and what to do with clarity. In the dark, ask only that you may see. So if I do not have perfect clarity, I really should not be trying to change anything. Right? Only with perfect clarity am I going to be guided to make changes. And in perfect clarity, those changes are not important to me. I'm really only listening to Spirit. If I feel something must change because it is wrong, because I cannot be happy with it the way it is, then I am currently in darkness, and I need to pray only for me to see, only for my errors to be removed, right? Do not try and take the splinter out of my brother's eye while there is a beam in mine. So that's the end of that particular message. Again, this is not a journey of joining. It's a journey of letting go of the belief in separation. And whenever I do not feel joined, whenever I'm in disagreement with my brother, it is because I am fully believing in separation. And what I need to do is just ask Holy Spirit to help remove that false belief from my mind. Help me to see truly. So I'll be back here next Sunday night, and we'll look over the next message then. I'm also going to hang out for a little bit and join the next conversation, which is about Be the Love last week. So I'm looking forward to that. For now, however, I am letting go of the mic.